Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here. Hello, everybody. Steve with you, and happy Monday to y'all. Welcome to Thin Line Believers. It's been quite a while for me, but I'm back with you. You know, what a year 2020 has been, or had been. I know for many of us thin liners, not sure if that's even a term, but, you know, we'll create that right now. So us thin liners, you know, this year has been especially challenging. I realize how good we have it here in America, though. I mean, this last couple years have really opened my eyes to how good we have had it for as long as we have. You know, we're still, quote, free, unquote, to practice our faith, you know, for the most part, compared to many other countries. I have, however, been seeing a trend where our freedom of religion has begun to be infringed upon by our government, by the mainstream media, you know, and other powerful people in the world. It's concerning for sure, but should not keep us from our relationship with Christ and doing the things we're called to do. When you look around the world and the way that Christians are persecuted and are killed for their religion, and you know, we cannot complain about where we sit in our America and, you know, in our world here. So a couple weeks ago, I saw a news article stating that our newly elected president was the perfect person to transition the church to a, quote, liberal Christianity, end quote. I at first laughed at that notion, then began thinking of so many examples of how that has been happening for years. Mega churches chipping away at the fabric of the church. And really what God and Christ have always called us to do and how to act. We can look at Carl Lentz, for example, with Hillsong Church. Here's a mega church pastor who I sat and listened to live in New York City at a conference. But I listened to him lecturing me as a police officer on how racist I am just for wearing a badge. I would further watch him on a national media platform during an interview where he was asked about if abortion was a sin or was against biblical teachings. With a platform like that, he was too worried about the world, what the world would say, and not what the word would say, that abortion is wrong. He was so worried about the world that he couldn't do his job as a man of God and a pastor to say what the word says about that. He went on to skirt the issue and just say that, you know, we all have our free will and we all, you know, we're given that and along those lines without coming straight out and saying that it is wrong to kill a child before birth, after birth, when they grow up. It's just wrong. He couldn't say that. Other megachurch pastors ask for your money, only to get rich for themselves. I can think of a few. You know, they offer material things as a reward for your giving. If you send us $50, we'll send you an embroidered prayer handkerchief. Wow, what a deal. Yeah, wow, to get that from that man of God asking for money to put it in his pockets rather than to invest in the church and in the world and in people who might actually need it. This is a huge reason my family quit attending a large church and now just gather with a group of believers that get together and read the Bible and fellowship. Many churches, I mean, you can see them throughout towns that you live in, are twisting and massaging their beliefs, you know, to fit into the world, posting resources not biblically sound, posting the newest catchphrase of the word to be sure they fit into the world, as to not offend somebody or some group. This is not what Jesus told us. Not at all. Not what the Bible has taught us our faith should look like. I don't even want to call it liberal or left, but this non-biblical twisting of the word has been ongoing for years and is ramping up now more than ever before in this country. You look at what the media is pushing and what some of these groups are pushing. The many Marxist movements that are attempting to chip away at the biblical teachings, the nuclear families and more, how they want to completely destroy that in our world and in our lives and in our walk with Christ and our biblical teachings. The attack on Christ's teachings, unfortunately, will continue getting worse. We know that. It's in Scripture. But what does that look like for us? Whether we realize it or not, we make our decisions every day based primarily upon one core decision: who we have decided to follow. Will we choose to follow Jesus? Or will we follow self? Will we follow the world? Will we follow these groups that are trending right now and that are so popular that we want to be part of that? Each of us must count the cost of the decision to follow Jesus. What will it mean for us to really follow him? Are we willing to lose everything, as the Bible says, if necessary? Are we willing to leave everything? Will we follow Jesus no matter the cost? Are you ready to do that? Are any of you ready to do that? Do you realize that that is truly what it means to follow Christ and to pick up your own cross and follow him like he says? In today's world, we are judged harshly and violently for anything that is not woke and accepted. More and more, the world is not accepting Jesus and the biblical teachings. Every day, all throughout the day, we will be tested on this decision. Who will be first? Will it be Christ? Will it be self? Will it be the world? Jesus says plainly and boldly that we must pick up our cross if we want to follow him. We must choose him over our closest relationships, over our possessions, and even over our own lives. There's not a lot of wiggle room there if you really look through the scripture and look at what his teachings are. Either we are willing to leave everything, renouncing all that we hold dear, and pick up our cross and follow him, or we are not. How can anyone really do this? I mean, when you really think about it, how can somebody really, really do this? Doesn't it seem utterly impossible? Well, it's because it is. We are incapable of doing the impossible and doing it with the right heart motives. But nothing is impossible with God. I'll say that again. We're impossible. It's impossible for us to do that on our own. But it is possible with God. In truth, none of us can follow Jesus without his Spirit helping us and leading us from the inside out. If it is your heart to be a true disciple of Jesus, I encourage you to ask him right now for his amazing grace to help you access the cost, and his amazing grace to grant you not only the desire and the willingness to pay the cost, but the ability to actually do it. Leave everything he is calling you to leave. Count it all as nothing in order to follow him. I can tell you, in my walk, I've lost things. I've lost relationships. that I look back on and I am sad about that I don't have those things and people in my life anymore. But I rejoice in what I do have now in my walk. Does this really sound impossible to you? You know, there are many verses in the Bible that tell us what this will look like, how we must be. Even if we don't completely lose everything in the process, in today's world, with the persecution, the cancel culture of today, Christians face something in America that we have not faced in quite some time, or ever. This is a really unique time, being a Christian and being a Christian in America, with how the world is, with how America is, with how this cancel culture of, if you don't believe exactly what I believe, you're wrong and I'm not going to listen to you, is today. If we go back to Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, we can see Jesus talking about these things. We can see Luke documenting Jesus talking about these things. And it says, "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." I think that's a huge example of what the expectation is when we pick up our cross and when we follow Christ. I know many people think of it as, well, if I have a relationship with Christ and if I give my life to Christ, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. Nothing's going to be wrong. I'm going to be forgiven of everything. Well, yeah, some of that comes along with having a relationship with Christ and devoting your life to Christ. But I think the mistake we make and the mistake that we fall into is that we think that it's going to be easy, especially where we have lived and where we have grown up. In America, we haven't had to face the hard times. And seeing those come, I have seen some people drop away from the church and pick up these catchphrases and these cancel culture organizations so fast because it's easier to do that than it is to stand by your beliefs and your Christ in a time when it's being attacked. We look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, where he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Those are some just hugely powerful words coming from Christ. Basically telling you that if you pick up your cross and you follow him, you are going to lose your life. You are going to lose your life as you know it. You are going to be persecuted at some point in your life. You are going to have people yell and scream and tell you that you're wrong and worse. But in doing so, you are going to find your life through Christ. This has been put on my heart just heavy this week, and I know it's my first week back, and I don't remember how long. But Adam and I are back, and we are back with a vengeance, because we have had a fire lit again in a time that we know truth needs to be spoken to Christ followers and to people who are feeling the burden of the world right now and of the culture surrounding us and knocking on our door with hate, telling us that because of what we believe, we are the ones who are haters and who have hatred in our heart. When in fact, I talk to some neighbors of ours quite a bit, and we have discussions about these things where we talk about, we don't hate any people. We love them. We treat them with grace. We treat them with mercy. It's not the people we hate. It's the sin that we dislike. And it's the sin in their hearts that we pray for them, and we pray for their hearts and their walk, that they can turn from these worldly ways and they can find the same peace and grace that we find in Christ. So with that, I pray that same for all of you who are tuning in, that you can find that peace in these times, that you can find that grace when you're being attacked verbally, whether it's verbally, whether it's in writing, whether it's on your daily jobs, whatever that may look like in your life, that you can find that grace and that mercy to still love those people back when all they are looking for is to break you down and to have you build that hatred in your heart as well. Again, I hope this finds you well. And until next time, be blessed.